With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are 4 hours and 10 minutes away from kickoff at FedEx Field. On a game day Monday, it's Burgundy and Gold game day. On the Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. All over D.C. on 106.7, in Richmond on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. We appreciate everybody listening. Remember, if you have to jump out of the car or go somewhere, take us with you today via the Odyssey app. We are taking you up to our official pregame show and eventually the kickoff of Seattle and Washington, the Seahawks and the football team, a couple of wild card hopefuls who are not playing the way, in Seattle's case, they'd like to. Washington got off to the slow start. They've won two straight games, and they are in a great spot if they can win tonight to control their own destiny coming down the stretch in their final six games. Burgundy and Gold Game Day on the Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, your clear home improvement choice. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. It is time for our Beltway Blitz, and today we are painting it burgundy and gold. We're turning it into a football team blitz. So let's get it started 4 hours ahead of kickoff. Matthew Paris covers the football team for the Washington Times, and he's out of the chute first. Matthew, why don't we begin with the breaking news of the evening, and that is that Logan Thomas is off injured reserve. He will play tonight. What kind of role do you anticipate for the tight end who we haven't seen since week four?
Yeah, he's going to be back on a pitch count a little bit. It'll be more than what Curtis Samuel is going to play. I think Curtis Samuel will play, you know, not that many snaps, maybe 15 at most. But Logan Thomas should, be more involved in the offense. Ricky Seals-Jones is doubtful. So, you know, I expect to see Thomas, especially in the red zone where they've missed him a lot. I expect a role for him there for sure.
Matt, you mentioned Curtis Samuel. What on earth was the idea behind basically doing this weird exercise and keeping the surgery secret while he was exercising on the side field instead of just saying, yeah, he got hurt in May and had surgery in June. He's working his way back. I don't understand what they were thinking. I don't understand the plan. I don't understand any part of it that they thought that was the better course to take.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean, it invited a lot more scrutiny toward Curtis Samuel, toward the team, of the way they handled it. I mean, you know, if you think about how most guys' rehabs go, there's a little bit of leniency there when a guy has surgery because, you know, people realize that, you know, they have to work their way back. So for that not to be disclosed, it was a bit baffling. And, you know, this has lingered for most of this season, and we'll see how he does tonight. And I think for Washington, the priority is just for Curtis Samuel to go out there, play some snaps, and not get hurt again. I mean, we've reached that stage with Curtis Samuel, and we'll see how he does.
Matt, what's at stake for Taylor Heinicke tonight as he tries to play a third straight strong football game?
Yeah, you know, it's really putting him in the driver's seat. I mean, I think it's too premature to talk about him as the next year quarterback, but they need a guy right now who can deliver some wins. And as you guys mentioned earlier, that, you know, Washington is really in the driver's seat with this game. If you look at the weekend's games, it really all broke for Washington the right way. Everyone lost kind of that they needed to lose. So, yeah, if Heinicke can deliver another great performance, then, you know, I think his status here, will be solidified at least this season. And it'll build some confidence for him continuing to play well.
Will they miss their young tandem of defensive ends tonight in Montez Sweat and Chase Young, or will they get by another game where they play pretty well defensively?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll get by. I mean, you know, certainly losing those guys hurts, but I think James Smith Williams did a really nice job this last game, and the interior pressure with Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen has been really strong all season. So if they can maintain that interior rush, they should be able to generate pressure. And a guy like Landon Collins as well has gotten involved here late as well. So, I think they can create and generate a pass rush, especially with Seattle's offense being a bit of a mess.
Matt Paris of the Washington Times. Follow his coverage throughout the night. Thank you. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
Let's move along on the Beltway Blitz. It's an all-football team blitz today. Rick Snyder covers the football team for thefandc.com. He's our columnist. Rick, I saw you posted a video, and you had a couple of thoughts about this game being particularly important individually for some players who were hopeful to get a shot for some postseason accolades. Explain.
Well, you know, players have a big part of the Pro Bowl vote. But, you know, they're working during most of the games. The games they see are like Thanksgiving, Sunday, Monday night games. That's really what they see, maybe Thursday. So if you do real well in these games, you get a bigger rep. And on the eve of voting here, it's even more important. So you bust out tonight with a great game, it might make a difference among the other NFL players because that's the last thing they saw, and they vote for you. It does have an impact.
Rick, they've been so bad on Monday Night Football for years and years and years. And everyone always says, well, it's different coaches, different regimes, and different players. Well, each time it's different coaches, players, and regimes, and they've continued to be really, really bad on Monday Night Football. That's my only reservation heading into tonight is how bad this team is on Monday Night Football. I like their matchup with the Seahawks. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is pretty amazing now. Like, you know, what was it, a great Beano Cook used to say, what is this team and having at night to play like Dracula kind of thing, they suck. It's amazing. But I would say the one time it could be different here is Taylor Heinicke likes the bright lights, and he lives for these kind of moments. And so far he's doing pretty well with it. So I have more optimism with him rising to the occasion than I have had other times. I mean, Seattle's a decent team. You know, losing to them wouldn't be the worst thing ever as far as being upset. But this is the key game for them. This is the game that either marches you toward the playoffs or just makes it a long slog through the season. They've got to win this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's double-click on that. I mean, we've talked a lot already about what's at stake if they win, and we'll continue to delve into that. But if they lose, how will we be talking and reacting come tomorrow and Wednesday?
Well, there'll be bonfires in the street and cars overturned. I mean, you know how it goes. But, I mean, it'll be 4-7, and that just, you know, what you want to be a 6-6 to get into the division. And there you can go 3-2, maybe 2-3, and make the playoffs. But you got to win these two games outside the division to set that up, or else it just makes it suddenly you're going to have to be 4-5-1 or something down the lane. This is the game that really sets you up to run to the playoffs. And if you lose it, you know, it's all uphill.
Rick, take this one wherever you want here. Who's a guy down the stretch for these last seven games you'd like to see more of, just a player more featured or get more opportunity?
That's a great question. I'd like to see Curtis Samuel.
That'd be nice.
See what he can
Why?
Do here.
You just want to see what he looks like? Or what about him? What are you curious about?
I haven't got to see him much. I mean, see him on a practice field, the sides. But, you know, I tell you the key guy, I think, down the stretch to see is Heinicke in the second time that he faces Dallas and Philly. Because he hasn't really had a chance to go through lineups a second time yet. He did against Tampa, and he won. So show me what the difference is that you can do when you play Dallas, Philly in a row. That's so weird. Show me what you do the second time, and that tells me a lot about his potential growth.
Rick Snyder, thefandc.com. What's your hunch tonight? Give me a prediction.
Washington by 3.
It comes down to the wire?
Yeah, and they got a kicker now, you know. He's a cool guy, and he's going to hit that. I mean, it's pretty windy, so I wouldn't want to have to kick a field goal in this wind. But I think they can outlast them, you know. Seattle's a better team than you think. But I think their secondary has played much better in recent weeks, and that's going to help a lot. And so I think it's a punch-counterpunch game, but I think that they can pull it out.
Rick, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the night.
All right, guys. See you.
See you, my friend. Let's talk about the Washington football team, please, Ryan. Nick and Jabal of the Washington Post will hop on to do that very thing. Nick, we've been dancing around this all day. They're 2-15, this franchise is, in their last 17 appearances on Monday Night Football. Wins are few and far between. I know it's different players and different coaches, but each time those are different players and different coaches. Is this night going to be different, question mark?
I mean, it certainly has a good chance to be. It should be, right, on paper. I mean, you look at what Seattle has done lately, and it's not good. So I think they have a very good chance.
Nikki Heinicke, what's at stake tonight? Two straight good games. Is he going to make it three? And if he does, what will it mean?
I think that's a huge step for him, especially with the implications. I mean, there's still a lot left in the season, but to move into that seventh place position would be huge for this team. But also to string three games together from him, I mean, that really starts to show some consistency. Two games, he played great. But a third one, you can really say that, you know, things are starting to come together. Really, this whole year for him is going to be a huge tryout, though, for his future and the team's future at that position.
What do we expect from the two returning offensive weapons in terms of Samuel, in terms of Logan Thomas, not only this week but over the next couple weeks, easing them back in, yeah, and kind of the pitch counts, et cetera?
Yeah, I think Curtis Samuel, I would expect him to be around 12 to 15 snaps. That's what he was supposed to be against Atlanta, but they went way over. I think it was like 25, and then he played another five against New Orleans. So he's going to be really limited. And I think for his sake, they know now that they really got to stick to that. Logan Thomas, he'll be on pitch count, but, you know, not as strict as one. I would expect to see him, you know, used regularly on third down situations. To get him back, especially in the red zone, is huge for this team. And hopefully Curtis plays well and feels well, comes out of this game okay, and they can continue to up his snap count.
Nikki, is the commitment to the run out of the bye week by design? Who do we give credit to for that philosophical shift, and is it sustainable, do you think?
I think it is sustainable. I don't know that it was like this grand philosophical shift so much as it was the offense simply playing better. They played with a lead, and they were able to do that. I mean, so many times they've been behind in the second half, and they have to resort to the passing game to try to play catch up. So to come out early, really, to me, the biggest change is, you know, not only third down and red zone, but, you know, coming out and scoring early and holding your opponent down early, so you don't fall into like these huge holes and you're always trying to climb out of by the second half. So I think it's something they've been wanting to do, but just haven't been able to do given the circumstances of the game.
Nikki, what have they found defensively without their two, you know, star defensive ends here, where they've been good on third down each last couple weeks? They've just sort of been sound, swimming to the football, tackling well. Seems like they're a different defense here after the bye week. Overall, the numbers still don't look very good because the first eight games were so bad.
Right.
But you, just watching them, you know they're different. What have guys talked about in terms of the uptick?
I think a lot of it is just guys understanding the guy next to them, knowing what they do best. You know, you got a lot of new guys out there and trying to get communication down and making sure you guys are all seeing the same thing. That takes some time. It's unfortunate it took this long, and they still got a ways to go, as you mentioned, but you're starting to see some of those issues get ironed out. You know, this is where I feel like having joint practices and training camp is really helpful because you can start to see those things earlier, because in preseason the starters play so little that you don't necessarily see all this stuff. But, you know, I think a lot of that, the little stuff that they mentioned, you know, communication, just technique and new guys adjusting to the new scheme and new teammates, I think you're starting to see it get ironed out.
Nikki, thank you so much. Great information.
Of course.
We'll see you at the stadium
tonight.
Thanks, guys. Be well. Read Nikki's work in the Washington Post. Danny's in our Half Street studios. I'm hanging out at FedEx Field. The dance team, not cheerleaders, they're the dance team.
Dance team.
They are lined up right now going through some stretching and working out their performance with no one in the stadium yet. So everyone's getting their pregame work in. We are about 3 hours and 45, 50 minutes or so from the anthem and from kickoff at FedEx Field, where the Seahawks and the football team are playing a pretty important game with a lot of ramifications for a plethora of clubs vying for wild card berths in the NFC. And here we are at the end of November. Who'd have thought we'd be talking about the postseason? But whatever you think of the football team, they're very much in the mix. They've given themselves the opportunity to get in with back-to-back wins in impressive fashion at home here against the Bucs, hit the road and beat up on Carolina, and now they're back against a wounded Seattle team that they're hoping to take advantage of tonight. Danny, we just tracked down Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, who's here. So many people from around the NFL, obviously, because it's Monday Night Football, are showing up at FedEx. He's going to stop by next. We'll get his thoughts on the game, and then we'll go around the NFL with Mike. By the way, it's chilly. Darius and I were walking in from the parking lot, wishing we would have grabbed a coat. It's about 43 degrees right now in Landover, and I'm looking at least one weather report in front of me here. You know I'm not a meteorologist, Danny. I just play one on the radio.
That's right.
But Grant Kammerer says it's going to be maybe 29 or 30 degrees by the end of the game tonight.
Stadium cold, bro. It's with the wind. I just experienced it outside at the beach where, you know, it's 50, I'll be fine. I've never been colder in my life. Now, granted, I was underdressed, but that's why. You always need to add a layer when you go to the stadium.
Wind about 10 miles per hour could be a factor. Now, visibility is 8 miles.
Oh. How much?
So it's about eight miles.
Okay, so let me recalculate my prediction.
So just put that into the equation. Now, it looks like visibility could be down to 7 miles at some point later.
7 miles squared times the reciprocal hypotenuse. Okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. I got it.
Were you able to work out the formula, or do you need humidity?
No, I got – wait, you have the humidity available to you?
I do.
Throw that variable in, please.
The humidity, I'm just going to punch in the numbers here.
Yep.
Six.
That's six.
See, yeah, I was just quizzing you. The humidity would never be six. It's a percentage.
Yep.
Humidity is 53%.
Ah, yes.
You failed the test.
That's the higher percentage of the. Okay, good. Yep, I got it.
So what's your prediction for the temperature at kickoff?
It's going to be how it is. Does that make sense?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You follow me? So, like, you're thinking about what's the actual temperature, and that's not what you should be thinking about.
Okay.
You should be thinking about what it actually happens to be. Does that make sense to you?
No, it totally does, actually.
Yeah, because the humidity of six.
Now, that's Danny's forecast.
Yep.
I'm going to go with weather.com. They're saying at kickoff, 36 degrees, winds out of the northwest at 4 miles per hour.
I had 35 and six. So it's just different models.
Very close.
Different models, yeah.
You have a good model. We know that about you.
Of course we do.
Mike Garofolo of NFL Media, NFL Network, is going to join us next. We'll ask him about this game. We can go around the league with some storylines. Christian McCaffrey's season could be done. And Taysom Hill could be getting the call at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland on a chilly Monday afternoon, becoming a Monday evening. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football. The Washington football team, the Seattle Seahawks. I got to say, as Mike Garofalo stops by, Danny's back in our Half Street studios, Mike, so you'll hear the voice without seeing him. We're multitasking, and we do this every single day for hours and hours. So much of our lives are invested in this team locally. To say the Washington football team and the Seattle Seahawks still feels weird as I sit here right now in their stadium looking forward to just a name. Is it one of those things on TV?
Just
where
a plural
still,
noun.
Every time I get a Washington game, I'm like, let's see if I can not say the R word for, you know, 3 or 4 days that I'm talking about the team. So, I was reading, I don't even know, Walter Football. That's who it was. I was reading their mock draft for next year because I just, it's an illness. Like, it's what we do. And,
Who are you talking to? We start doing that in October.
They just flat out referred to them and like, don't care. Like, not even just like the team name and the pick. R word there, and then in the breakdown, the R word need this, the R word need that. And I'm just like,
did they forget?
I don't know if they forgot or they just like, nah, screw this. That's who they are. That's who we are. Because I've had friends tell me, you know, like hardcore right wing. I mean, you know who we're talking about here. No knock. I'm not saying I'm left or right. I'm just that's what it is. And I got one guy's like, I'm searching for all the memorabilia and apparel I can find because I'm just not gonna let it die. I'm like, you think you are not gonna let it die? Like you're the one guy that's gonna keep it alive. Good luck.
Yeah. At a certain point, don't you just have to do like a control F and then a find and replace kind of a thing if you're Walter Football, just to move on?
I'm not knocking Walter Football. I just, it was crazy to me to read it. I was like, whoa, I had a visceral reaction to it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. About the game tonight, though, Mike, this is like, I used this joke earlier, but this is the movable force against the stoppable object or whatever the bad analogy is. Like, Seattle can't
get that'll
right.
get you ready for a game.
Yeah, Washington
tune
has
in tonight.
Yeah, Washington's won two straight and wrecked and like everybody's fixed and it's arrived and let alone they gave away half of a season. Now they've just played okay for a couple straight weeks. But how do you see this one going? A lot on the line for both teams.
Yeah, and I was doing the math on it. I mean, you know, both teams, I mean, if Washington wins, they are in the seventh spot, I believe, is what happens now.
Yep.
So they're technically in a wild card spot as we sit here if the season ended after tonight, which, of course, it doesn't. But the point is you may make the playoffs this year with a losing record at 8-9, which I just – the 17th game, it's just killing me. I can't – the odd number is killing me. The extra week is killing me. I don't know. This is the weirdest thing. Anyway, so you make it in at 8-9. Matter of fact, I was just talking to a Seahawks official and they were like, hey, did you talk about us on the air earlier? I said, yeah. He said, what'd you do? I said, well, I kind of broke down what you need to do to make the playoffs. And he's like, what do we need to do? I was like, you guys didn't do this? He's like, well, no, we sort of looked at it, but basically they're at 3-7. If they go 5-2, they're 8-9. But to go 5-2, they've got to win the games on paper that look like they can win. That means tonight. That means Detroit. That means Houston. I believe Chicago is the other one. So that's four. And then they got to win one of their division games. And that might not be enough. So they may have to go 5-2. Washington would have to go 4-3 the rest of the way. They haven't had a bye yet. Or they have had a bye.
They had the bye.
So it'd be 4-3. Yeah, seven games left. 4-3 the rest of the way to get to 8-9, which, again, may or may not be good enough. Anyway, but as it pertains to tonight, you know, Seattle's having trouble finding its way in a lot of ways, finding that identity that they used to have. Pete Carroll finding his voice right now. It's not registering. It's starting to feel like, I keep comparing this to Andy Reid, because that's a team I covered closely in Philly, at the end of his time in Philly, where it was just time. Like, it was what you were saying for years and years and years. All of a sudden, it's just not getting through. And maybe it's because they're tired of hearing the same voice. Maybe it's because it's just a change in the makeup of your locker room, whatever it is. I thought Russell Wilson coming back was going to spark this team. It has not. They to me don't have an identity. They're not dictating things. You know, if I had to make a pick tonight, I'd say Washington, just because, you know, Heineke's been playing better the last couple of weeks. And, you know, overall, this is still a team that feels like they're going out there and fighting, whereas Seattle doesn't look like they're fighting right now.
Mike, you just talked about Heineke. What is the chance that he actually could play his way in to this job next year? And I ask you this with your national perspective being valuable, because I'm sitting here telling you, I think they got to try to do something better. That you can't,
I agree.
You can't possibly ride this roller coaster again. But I don't know what's out there, and everyone's telling me this rookie class is not great.
Yeah,
what's going to present itself? Like, how does the quarterback crop look this offseason? Yeah. How does that influence the Heinicke future?
And as I could have predicted for you, by the way, the draft class that apparently isn't is now slowly becoming the draft class that's better than you think it is. Quarterback, you know it's going to happen. I mean,
right.
Listen, guys are going to talk them in, talk themselves into making these guys high picks, and they're also going to look at the tape and look at the ability of the guy versus what he was asked to do in college. And so when I've sort of been canvassing the league a little bit to say, you know, what about these quarterbacks? They're saying, nah, they're better than you think they are. They're better than you think they are. But that's because the bar was so low
right.
to start. You didn't have that real stud.
I saw someone say something, this has been a couple weeks ago, but they go, the first quarterback will come off the board in some mock draft at like number 16. And I was like, have you ever seen an NFL draft before?
Yeah, right.
Have you watched one of them? And they're making this case for, well, this guy's flaws are this. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's adorable.
The first three guys are gone in the top eight picks. I don't have to watch them play once.
Yeah.
I could never have seen any of them play. I'll bet $10 right now. That's how it works. But it directly affects what Washington does here.
Yeah, and listen, a lot of that's going to depend on draft positioning. You've got teams with multiple picks up there that, you know, now look at yourself if you're the Eagles, and granted he didn't have the best game yesterday, but Jalen Hurts, that was legitimately – and is legitimately a situation where he may be playing himself into being their franchise quarterback. And now they got to use those three. It's funny because Ian put that out there. And I said, we talked about it over the weekend. I said, just wait. He's like, no, but I've got, I said, right, you know what? I'm not your daddy. Do whatever you want to do. And he puts it out there. And Hurts has his worst game of the season. And
I watched every bit of that game.
Killing him on text.
He was so bad. And I just thought, I know he's been a little better than that, but it's based on the fact that he runs well, they run well. He hadn't thrown great.
But they asked him to throw more, and they really didn't. And then they adjusted midstream, and it wasn't enough. They were falling behind. I'm just like, now I get it. Like, you know, I yesterday I was watching the San Francisco game, and I remember talking about this game on Good Morning Football Weekend, and I said, Minnesota's run defense has not been good.
Yeah.
And they lost Dalvin Tomlinson, and Everson Griffin wasn't playing. They lost two guys up front. San Francisco's been running over people. The Niners are going to run all over this team. They come out throwing the football, right? And my buddy he's texting me, busting my chops. You said we're going to run. I said, but you don't understand. Like, Minnesota's not stupid, right? They're game planning for the Niners to run the ball. So the Niners got to come out and do something different to loosen it up. I said, watch, they'll run the ball. And what did they do as the game went on?
200 yards.
They ran the ball. So the Eagles came into that game saying, hey, the Giants are really going to sell out to the run. We're going to have to throw. It's just how it works in the NFL level. Like, you can't sit there and say, well, this team's going to do this because they do it well and this team does it poorly. People game plan. That's what happens. So Hurts didn't play, and I'm killing Ian. I'm just killing him. I'm like, you broke Jalen. Howie's going to be so pissed at you. Sirianni's going to kill you. You know, just killing him on text. He's like, well, what do you want? That was my information, you know. So, so you go back to that. So now you've got the Eagles with three picks. Who else has multiple picks? The Jets have multiple picks, right? So these teams will either use them to get a quarterback, package them together, or sell off one of these to maybe a team who wants to come up to get a quarterback. So there's, we'll get into the draft stuff. There'll be options on the free agent market. I'm sure we're going to go through the Cam Newton thing again. Jameis Winston was on a 1-year deal. You know, I'm sure he'll have, I mean, he did play well. Sure he'll have interest other than the Saints. So there are options out there.
Mike Garofalo's with us, NFL.
And Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson was one that interests me.
Yeah.
But Danny, by him saying the Cam Newton thing, he went 5 of 20 and got benched yesterday. The Jameis Winston thing, I mean, we saw the Saints offense here in a win. With him, they were bad. With him, they're worse. That is saying there's not a lot available in the market.
No, listen, I remember Jerry Reese. I covered the Giants for 8 seasons, and Jerry Reese, I remember the conversation. He said, you know, there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league. There will never be 32 quarterbacks in this league. They'll be somewhere in the low 20s, and the rest of them are people trying to convince themselves that they've got one of the 20s. And so that'll always continue to be the case. There are options out there. And listen, some team might look at Taylor Heinicke. I mean, I know he's under contract next year, but they may have looked at him and said, well, that's a guy that can come in and play for us. Well, you've already kind of got him in place. Listen, he'll be here. He'll be competing. The question is, how much of a leg up does he have? Who else comes in? I imagine I'm going to be here. Well, not here. I'll be in Ashburn or Richmond if they're back there next year, talking about I'm here and training camp, and we're covering a quarterback competition. I think in some form or fashion we'll be there.
So, Mike, quick one for you, just around the league a little bit.
Yep.
Is New England the best team in the AFC?
They might be. And I was talking to somebody who said, early in the season. Oh, you guys oversold this free agent class, and all they did was go out and spend when teams couldn't because other teams were hampered with the cap, and they overpaid for guys. Well, you know what? They got guys to fit, and they're using them. And Belichick, to his credit, had the one down year and got this team back to believing that they're good. I'm still going to pick the Bills to win that division, which answers your question that the Patriots aren't the best team, but man, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. It really is.
8-4 New England, half game back of the top spot in the AFC. Quick thought from you on the report, and it could have been your report. I honestly have no idea who had it today. That Taysom Hill.
I was driving, so
okay,
no.
Okay. I just know that this was said, and if I tell you about your report, that would be funny. Taysom Hill is going to get the start, it sounds like, for the Saints this week.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian has played poorly. I'm not shocked. They got much bigger issues than just quarterback. I'm kind of excited just to see what that looks like. I mean, he's never really gotten a chance to saddle up and go.
Yeah.
I don't have delusions of grandeur, but A, what do you think of that? And B, how much trouble are the Saints in?
Saints are in big trouble. Not this year. I mean, that's why they kicked the can down the road on his cap hit by doing that extension, which I know was sold as $95 million. Listen, it's just all it was this is the rate that he's been getting. We're going to extend it a little more just to not have that cap hit that's about to crush us. And that's what they've been doing, and they continue to do that. And they're playing a dangerous game with this cap because they've got to find their quarterback of the future. There was talk the day of the draft that they were going to move up and they were going to – and it never happened. I mean, I remember this. I was doing a show in Mount Laurel at NFL Films and breathless reports about the Saints are coming up, and if they come up, they're getting a quarterback. And they never were close to coming up, and they never were getting a quarterback. Well, you know what? I mean, Sean Payton had the luxury of Drew Brees for however many years, 15 years, whatever it was. At some point, they got to figure out who their guy is for the future. And I don't think it's Winston. I mean, I mentioned him earlier, and he's an option, and he's good. And I think he's one of those 20 or one of those back ends of the 32 that I was talking about that you're trying to convince yourself is one of the 20 or so quarterbacks that are actually quarterbacks in this league. They got to figure out what they're doing here because Sean Payton thinks that, you know, he's a great offensive mastermind, and he is, but at some point you're only as good as your players and you're only as good as your quarterback.
Mike Garofolo of NFL Network on Grant and Danny. We really appreciate it. Thanks for stopping through.
Danny, whatever that question was, I'm sure it was a beauty.
Oh, I just wanted the prediction. I had like a 6-5 rock fight. What did you think?
What did he say?
He wanted the prediction. He said he has a 6-5 game tonight.
Oh.
Thanks to rocks at one
of them. It was a college game recently, and I can't remember who was playing, and the score was 6-4. And I said, I don't think I've ever seen – I texted my buddy. I said, I don't think I've ever seen the number 4 in the score column in an NFL game in my 41 years on earth. And my buddy, who's a huge Penn State fan, says, you're forgetting the Penn State thrilling 6-4 loss, I think, to Iowa or something from like 2005. I said,
Big Ten football.
That is Big Ten football right there. So 6-5, maybe 6-4. There'll be points scored tonight. Maybe more than we expect. But I'll give Washington. I'll give Taylor Heineke another late game, a little bit of late game magic. Maybe not with like 20 seconds left. Give me like 2.5 minutes. But I'll give Washington the go-ahead touchdown late to win it.
Oh, wouldn't that be good for business, Danny? That would feel good all week long. Heineke on Natty TV again, just like he did on Thursday Night Football. Mike Garofolo, watch him on NFL Network.
Kevin
Harlan, who's on the call tonight for Westwood One, is going to stop by our booth at about 6 o'clock. We're taking you up to 6:30 and the pregame show ahead of Washington football in Seattle right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Game night live at FedEx. I'm Grant Paulson. DC is DC? No, it's Danny in DC. He's back in our DC studios. We are sponsored as always on these game days. Today's Burgundy and Gold game day on the Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. They're making the show possible on location. Your clear home and your clear home improvement choice. PaulHenrysWindows.com. Big thanks to Mike Garofolo, who just stopped by. We're going to catch up with Kevin Harlan out here at FedEx Field, who's going to be on the call on Monday Night Football tonight for Westwood One. Cannot wait to have him join the show live, coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes. Danny, if Washington wins tonight, will you be all the way bought in that this thing is happening again and that they've completely turned their season around?
Yeah. Because the most recent sample is the best sample. And the seas will be parting again. They're doing the thing. It already feels like the thing is happening. That could all come crashing down tonight, of course, with the terrible showing on national television and, you know, same old WFT or same old Redskins or whatever you want to call them. Jokes get made and the Twitterverse gets their dunks and everyone has fun. But if they play well, as they played the last couple weeks, a physical, accountable, solid performance where they run the ball, tackle well, don't let anything big happen, on, especially on defense, and just kind of do what they've done on offense, which is just enough over these last few weeks, they'll win this football game tonight. And that formula, this 2.0 version, this post-bye week version, will be the sample that we can kind of go forward with. It's a shame that they dug themselves a 2-6 hole, but what are you going to do about that? The best you can do is what's in front of you. And what's in front of them is the ability to play well and control their own destiny as the then 7 seed.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because it's really true. I mean, there has been an almost identical script, formula, if you want to call it that, for these two games. If they can run that back again tonight against Seattle, they'll have an identity. They haven't had an identity at any point this year. Like, what is the Washington football team? You ask that in week 2 or week 6 or week 9. I don't think we knew. But the formula over 2 weeks out of the bye has been ball-controlled offense with a running game, leaning on defenses, being heavy up front, pushing teams around, wearing them down by controlling clock and keeping the football, not only with just the running game but also the short passing game, taking some shots vertically downfield, specifically in this last game against Carolina. But it's been the signature defensive performances we counted on at the start of the year we didn't get. That defense that we thought had been built with all of the first-round picks up front, you don't even have Montez Sweat coming off the edge. You don't have Chase Young off the other defensive end spot right now. And they're rounding into form and playing really tough, physical, solid against the run, opportunistic on the back end against the pass. Defense, picking quarterbacks off, turning teams over, getting pressure. They didn't get a lot of sacks last week. In fact, their first sack of the game last week was the final play of the game against Cam Newton on fourth down. But they were able to generate enough pressure in spots to hit Cam Newton on third down to force punts. So they're playing defense, they're running the football, and they've got a quarterback, a la Wilson at his best over the years, who he might go 3.5 quarters, not put up big numbers, but when it was time to go win the football game, he's got the back-breaking scramble for 13 on third and 9. He's got the impressive extension of a play to set up a 27-yard gain downfield on a throw in the middle of the field. Heineke's got some of that to him, and he's been showing that while protecting the football, which he's got to do again tonight.
He's gotten away with a couple things here. While we're giving him compliments, we also got to, you know, just be real about it. He's thrown a few oh-my-God balls and a couple, you know, should-have-been-intercepted or turnover-worthy plays. He's
skated
away.
Against Tampa, but yeah. Not last week. He didn't put the ball in harm's way once against Carolina.
I would tend to agree. I'd have to go back and look, but my instinctively that's true. But, yeah, but I guess – but to me, my point still stands, is he's gotten away with it, right? He didn't end up with those huge negative plays. I think if you avoid that, if you don't give anything to Seattle, Let them screw up. Let them go down their leg. They are self-destructing right now. This marriage with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, it just looks like they're on the rocks at this point. Nothing looks right watching that operation. A guy that was an MVP candidate before he kind of fell off last year. One of the best players in the league in Russell Wilson. Two incredible receivers. That should be enough to have a team be 500. Just that. Just that. Not even anybody else performing adequately. A defense that struggles. An offensive line that ain't great. I'm not saying you're a Super Bowl contender. But those three players in Lockett, Metcalf, and Russell Wilson should have a team at 7, 8, 9 wins. Just by showing up. And it's not happening. They are just bad at this point, especially on offense. And that, I think, has really hung the defense out to dry to a degree. There's infighting. It just doesn't look right. Don't let them back in it with anything with anything dramatic and costly, just in terms of a mistake on your end. Let Tressway punt a bunch if that comes down to that. You can win ugly right now the way Washington is playing, and I don't mind that at this point.
There is something to be said, too, with just asking less of Heinicke, which the last 2 weeks – almost directly because they've been able to run the ball so well, is exactly what they've done. He's thrown the ball in their last two games 32 and 22 times. Those are the two lowest passing totals he's had all season other than the Buffalo game, where they ended up basically just trying to run out the clock for the last quarter. But in games where for four competitive quarters of football, Scott Turner was actively trying to move the football and the game wasn't over, and so they weren't just trying to get on the bus. The 2 weeks where they've had Taylor Heinicke throw the least were Tampa Bay, where he was 26 of 32 and ultra efficient, and Carolina, where he was 16 of 22, again, very efficient, three touchdown passes, and he's had two of his four best quarterback ratings of the season, two of his three best rated games as a starter in those two games. So we've got a script here. We see what it looks like. I think one of the biggest differences for Heinicke is the lack of turnovers.
Yep.
When he has not thrown picks, their offense has been different, and the games have resulted differently because they've got this way against Denver, against Tampa, against Carolina, even Green Bay. If you're not giving the other team the football, you're probably going to end up right there in the end. They lose to the Broncos in a tight game where he turned it over twice. Had he not have thrown a pick in that game, that's a win. But here's the question for you guys. At 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. If Washington wins tonight, are you all the way bought in? A lot of you guys have been skeptical and dubious about this little run. You've said things like, well, I'm not getting excited. You know, they're not that good. The table cloth's going to get pulled out from underneath of everything. Okay, fine. You think the bottom's going to fall out of this little ride? You're allowed to think that. What if they win tonight? What if it's three in a row and they're going into December, six games left, one against the Raiders, and then five in the division as a team currently in the playoffs when you put your head on your pillow this evening? Will that be enough for you to be all the way in on this turnaround? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on Grant and Danny, live from FedEx Field on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.